Hi, everyone. Welcome to Enjoying Everyday Life. Today, Joyce and I are having a candid conversation. It's an intimate discussion about divorce, and we invite you to join us as we talk about this. It's such an important discussion to have. And as we do this, we want you to know the good thing about this conversation is it comes with no judgment, no condemnation, only love and restoration from God as we really explore what happens in people's lives when they're dealing with the aftermath of divorce or walking through a potential divorce. Our hope is that this will help save marriages and bring healing to those dealing with the pain of divorce. Well, Joyce, this is a candid conversation that will impact many lives. And I think it's a really important thing for us to talk about because it's such a big part of our society. And we're just going to get honest and talk about divorce today.
Yeah, and when you told me that's what you wanted to talk about,
yeah.
I was like, oh.
Well, the great thing about you talking about this is you understand it from both sides.
Right.
Because we're going to talk about what God's Word says.
Right.
And you've also walked through it.
Right. Well, first of all, I just want to say to our viewers that some of you probably aren't going to like some of the things that I say, but instead of just getting mad and turning me off, everything I'm going to share is from the Word of God. It's just not my opinion. And so I really pray that if you are a person who's serious about your relationship with God, that you will listen to this all the way through. Mm-hmm. Let me next say that I've been divorced. I was divorced when I was 22, and I did have scriptural grounds for divorce, although at that time in my life, I wasn't really walking with God, so I probably would have done it either way. But my husband, at that time, cheated on me all the time. He ran around with other women and just a lot of other things. He ended up going to prison for writing bad checks. But we have such a problem today with divorce, and it's not just outside of the church. It's in the church.
Mm-hmm.
And God hates divorce. Now, he doesn't hate divorcees, but he does hate divorce. And we need to do everything we possibly can to make our marriages work and not just be so quick to give up. So I'm going to start by just reading a couple of scriptures here. Mark 10, 2 through 12, that's 10 verses. Hopefully everybody can focus that long. And some Pharisees came up, and in order to test him and try to find a weakness in him, ask him, is it lawful for a man to dismiss and repudiate and divorce his wife? And he answered them, what did Moses command you? They replied, Moses allowed a man to write a bill of divorce and to put her away. But Jesus said to them, because of your hardness of heart, your condition of insensibility to the call of God, he wrote you this precept in your law. But, so, he allowed it because of the hardness of people's heart, but it was never his will. From the beginning, some people ask questions about the perfect will of God compared to the permissive will of God. God's not going to turn against you. You're not going to lose your salvation if you get a divorce, but if you really want to be obedient to God and do things His way, you're going to make certain that you have biblical grounds to get a divorce. But from the beginning of creation, God made them male and female. For that reason, a man shall leave behind his father and his mother and be joined to his wife and cleave closely to her permanently. What the Amplified Bible says, for better or worse, sickness and health, till death do us part. People don't take vows seriously enough. God tells us to keep our vows. It's a very important thing. And the two shall become one flesh, and they are no longer two, but one. What therefore God has united and joined together, let not man separate or divide. And indoors, the disciples questioned him again about this subject. And this is the part people are not going to like. And he said to them, whoever dismisses, repudiates, and divorces his wife and marries another commits adultery against her. And if a woman dismisses, repudiates, and divorces her husband and marries another, she commits adultery. So, the thing that I think a lot of people don't think about, Ginger, is they make an emotional decision. I don't love you anymore. Well, love is not a feeling to start with. Maybe some of those people never knew what love was to start with. Love is a decision you make about how you're going to treat somebody. And we were on TBN last week, Dave and I, doing an interview with Matt and Lori Crouch. And I asked Dave during this interview how he was able to stay with me the first several years of our marriage, because I had been sexually abused and I had so many problems in my personality. And I mean, I was so hard to get along with, and sarcastic and controlling, and felt sorry for myself, and bad temper. And I mean, you just name it, mm-hmm. You know, I did it. Now, thankfully, Dave was pretty easygoing, but he said, well, this was what he said. He said, well, I knew that marriage was for life. So he said, I never even once thought about divorcing you. And there's so many people today that that's the first place their mind goes. Well, I'm out of here. And I think because there is so much divorce inside the church, people are beginning to think there's not a problem with it. And it's, like I said, this is not about God not loving you anymore or turning against you, or it's not the thing that pleases God. And when God joins something together, when those two become one, just think for a minute about how painful and hard it would be to separate that now and tear it apart.
Yeah, that one flesh word.
Yeah, that.
Yeah.
It's going to be.
It's a ripping.
It's going to be hard.
Yeah.
And boy, especially if there are children involved. And I'm sorry if some people don't like this, but yes, sometimes if for no other reason, you need to stay together for your kids. Because most children think that it's their fault some way, somehow, if they would have been better, if. And it's very, very challenging for children. But I got this off the web, and it's from crosswalk.com. So I'll say it again in case you want to look it up, crosswalk.com. 10 hidden consequences of divorce, especially if you have kids. So I think a lot of times people don't think about the consequences. Don't you? I think they make a decision.
It's very difficult to think about the future when we're in a current situation where we're hurting.
And yes. You haven't gone through these consequences yet.
Exactly.
So you may think it's no big deal.
Yeah.
But first of all, there's going to be grief. You know, normally both people don't want this divorce.
Yeah.
It's one or the other. If there are children, it's going to cause everybody grief. It's going to cause even extended family members grief. So getting a divorce may eliminate one kind of pain, but it's going to give you another kind. And just think, if Dave would have left me, I wouldn't be sitting here today doing what I'm doing.
Mm-hmm.
And so how do you know, maybe if you stick with somebody and do it for the Lord and continue to be a good example, not try to preach to them all the time, but just live in front of them a good example, which Dave did for me. I mean, he was peaceful. He loved me when I would let him.
Yeah.
But he never one time threatened that he was going to leave me. He didn't try to make me be afraid. And another thing
you just said, though, when I let him.
Yeah.
I think that's really important, because a lot of people are in marriages where the other person's not always letting them.
I didn't know how
yeah.
to receive love.
Yeah.
I didn't. To be honest, when I married Dave Ginger, I didn't have the slightest idea what love was. You know, anybody that had ever told me they loved me did nothing but hurt me.
Yeah.
And I didn't. I mean, the night that Dave told me he loved me and wanted to marry me, I couldn't even say it back because I didn't know what it was.
Yeah.
And here again, people make, they think it's a feeling. Mm-hmm. And it's got to be much more than that. If that's all it is a feeling, those feelings are going to go away.
Right, yeah.
They
fluctuate.
Yeah, that's going to wear out.
Yeah.
But one of the things that Dave did for me that was so important was he continued to have joy in his life. He even told me one time, he said, I've tried everything to keep you happy, and it's obvious that you are determined to be unhappy, and so I'm going to go ahead and enjoy my life. Mm-hmm. Well, of course, that just made me furious, but seeing him enjoy his life made me eventually realize what I could have if I would just let God change me.
Yeah. And his joy wasn't based on what you did.
No. He wasn't codependent on me. And a lot of people are codependent. It's like, if you get up happy today, I'll be happy. But if you wake up in a bad mood, now I'm going to be in a bad mood all day. And don't get married with the idea in mind, now it's your job to keep me happy.
Yeah.
We need to do just the opposite. What can I do to make you happy? And if you do that, then God will move and make you happy. But it causes grief. It causes trauma. You still have to have a relationship with the ex-spouse if there's children involved. And that can get very touchy and challenging. Financial stress, because now you don't have the same income that you had before. Emotional problems result from it, not only for you, but for your children. The chance of another divorce, I mean, the statistics, and I don't know exactly what they are right now, I don't have them in front of me, but the statistics say that people who get divorced and remarry, the percentage of people who get another divorce is really, really high. Losing friends. Mm-hmm. You know, you have friends as a couple that are going to be hard for you to maintain as a single person. And so you make your friends choose between you.
Yeah, make them take sides.
Or your spouse. The dividing of memories and belongings.
The dividing of memories.
Yeah.
Wow.
You know, it's like you... there's memories now that you're no longer part of. And belongings. I mean, just think, there are certain things that we have that are not, they're not necessarily expensive, but they mean a lot to us.
Right.
Well, only one person can end up with them. So that doesn't sound like much, but that could be very, very challenging and difficult. Pictures of your children, you know, just all kinds of stuff. A home. Mm-hmm. Who's going to keep the home? Are we going to have to sell the home, divide the money? What are we going to do? Holidays. I thought that was very interesting. There's so many people that even commit suicide on holidays because they're depressed and lonely. And learning how to be single. Mm-hmm. It's going to be very different. So I thought it would be good to bring this out that, you know, before you get a divorce, you need to think there are going to be consequences from this. You know, you're not just going to go on like normal, except now you don't have this person that's giving you a problem. Mm-hmm. So we talk about, okay, God does give room if somebody's unfaithful to you. You can divorce them, but I do want to add you don't have to. You can choose to forgive and try to make it work. And, you know, you've had your own situation, not with divorce, but with pornography and... You know, you could consider that being unfaithful, and yet you made a decision to work it out.
And I did exactly what you're talking about. When this became an issue years ago in our marriage, I kind of did that inventory and, you know, prayed a lot, God, what do you want me to do? But the first thing I thought was, I am not the woman who puts up with this stuff.
Right.
And so the... And this isn't fair to say because divorce is never easy, but at the time it feels like it would be much easier to cut bait and move on.
Yeah, I'm out of here.
Yeah, exactly. And I prayed about it a lot. And for me, and in my circumstance, I'm not talking about anybody else, I really felt like God said he was unfaithful, but I want you to consider the whole picture.
Right.
And so, you know, spent a lot of time really praying and figuring that out, and a lot of time healing. And God has restored us to a beautiful place. And it's still hard sometimes. You know, there are still things that come up like there are in any marriage. And some of the things that you're talking about here, which I think are so important, is to take account of what this might look like. But there are also many people who this was not in their control.
Right.
They're now in a divorce situation because it does take two people to stay together and work on something. So, you know, there are abuse situations. There are many times where people are caught in this place of, how do I please God? How do I know what to do in a situation?
You know, to consider, like, okay, why did Tim do that? Well, he got addicted to that stuff when he was a kid.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and young men don't realize what they're doing. So we can, if we want to be like God, have a little mercy in a situation. And, you know, I don't know everybody's situation, and I want to make it very clear that I am not judging anybody. Not trying to dig into your stuff. Each relationship is different. Each person's reasons for why they do what they do is different.
That's true.
But I would just plead with everybody today not to do it without asking God, is this what you want me to do?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I mean, I think we need to at least give that opportunity to God. Now, what about abuse? The Bible doesn't say that that is a reason for divorce. It only talks about adultery.
Mm-hmm.
But I know that God does not want a woman to be beat on and abused and her children to be mistreated. I think about my own mother, and she stayed with my father even though he would regularly smack her and slap her and a few times beat her up really bad. And he'd go out and get drunk and come home and do that. She'd get up the next morning and cook his breakfast. Well, that just nauseated me. It was like I wanted her to stand up to him. She knew that he was sexually abusing me because I told her one time, and he said I was lying. And then one time she actually caught him. She walked in the house and caught him. And she turned around, stayed gone 2 hours, came back and never mentioned it again. So I felt like, well, nobody's going to help me. And so I just made my mind up I was going to survive and get out of there as soon as I could. But nobody's going to tell me that God wanted her to stay in that situation because it ruined her life. It ruined my brother's life. He ended up committing suicide. And but for the grace of God, it would have ruined my life. Now, there's an option besides divorce. Sometimes if there's a very tedious situation in a marriage, could be drugs, could be alcohol, could be a lot of different things. You can separate for a while, even for 2, 3, 4 years, and continue to pray and maybe give that person an opportunity to really change, to make a change.
Mm-hmm.
And the Bible says that if you're married to an unbeliever and he's pleased to dwell with you, to stay with him. But it also says, if the unbelieving partner actually leaves, let him do so. In such case, the remaining brother or sister is not morally bound, but God has called us to peace.
Hmm.
Isn't that amazing? He said, God doesn't want you in turmoil all the time. He wants you in peace. And if you're married to an unbeliever, which you really shouldn't have married an unbeliever to start with, but a lot of people do that. They don't even know what they're doing, and they become a Christian later on. And you know, so there's a lot of different reasons why people get into that. But if he's pleased to dwell with you, you should stay with him, because how do you know that your witness may not be what changes him and turns the situation around? And I know this is a broad subject.
Yeah, and these are hard things.
You know, I mean, there's no way that, like, in a few minutes here on TV, I can answer all the questions that goes with this, because I don't know everything that every person has dealt with and what all they're going through and what all is behind it. So no judgment. I'm not trying to bring judgment on anybody. I know there are times when there is no other option I know a lot of times it's not you that wanted the divorce, it's the other person that wanted the divorce. But I just want to repeat what I said before. Please, please, at least ask God. Pray sincerely and ask God. And don't, something that annoys me is this, we're not compatible excuse.
Yeah.
I mean, how many people are compatible?
Nobody.
No. I mean, if you think about it, I mean, Dave and I are so different. Are you and Tim different?
Oh, entirely. Yeah.
And so you have to work at getting along, don't you?
Yeah. Yeah.
And,
it's a lot of work.
It is.
It's a big commitment. And it's a long term, over and over and over, making the commitment to love and and to do what we need to do. And I think about people who are watching right now, because I thought you began it so beautifully by saying you've been there. There is no judgment here, that God loves people who have walked through a divorce.
Yeah.
And so I just want to spend a minute talking about healing their heart.
Right.
If they've been through a situation like that, whether it was no fault of their own, or of course we all make mistakes as well, there is always a second plan that God has for us. There's always forgiveness. There's always restoration.
Always. Always forgiveness. No condemnation.
Yeah.
It's very important to me that people don't think that we're judging them. You know, that's why it's a subject, when you first told me that we needed to talk about it, because we get so many questions about it.
Right.
So if people are asking questions, they obviously care. You know, they want to know. And here again, I just want to say that you just don't know what might happen if you stick it out for a while. I still think about myself and what, you know, or even like you, where would you be now if you would have just said, well, I'm out of here, I'm not putting up with this? And, you know, you can go marry somebody else, but that doesn't mean you're not going to have similar or even worse problems with them.
Yeah.
Very rarely, I don't want to get myself in trouble saying this, but very rarely are all the problems one person's fault.
Mm-hmm.
Now, there are times, you know, when you can be a great wife and your husband's unfaithful, or a great husband and your wife's unfaithful.
But we're all human also.
But we're all human. And we always have the option to do the better thing. We always have the option to forgive and to be merciful. And, of course, the question is, well, what if he does it again? Well, at least you've given that opportunity to let the person have restoration.
Yeah. So what would you say to someone right now who has been through this and is wondering, will God still use me? Will God ever restore a love that I need in my life? Mm-hmm. You know, all of those questions that must come up for people.
Well, I really want you to know that God loves you. He's never stopped loving you, not for one second. And you can be completely restored. There is no condemnation. Like I said, I was divorced when I was 22. And there's a lot of different reasons why people have to do things. It's not my job to condemn people or to judge them, but it is my job to teach people what the Word of God says. And so I hope and pray that what we've said here today will stop a few thousand divorces that really don't have to take place, that if they stick with things, they can turn out to be really beautiful.
Yeah. And possibly bring some healing to some people who are feeling a lot of shame and guilt that God is not seeing when He looks upon them today.
God is not finished with you yet. He can still call you to do great things. And even if you realize you made a big mistake, just talk it out with God. He loves you. You still got a lot of life left that God can do great things in.
Yeah. Thank you, Joyce. We appreciate it.
Thanks for watching today.